It's time for the Straight Dope with Dr. Steve. Call now, 312-981-7200 if you got a call. Anything about cannabis, any question you have, Dr. Steve can answer it, from CBD to medical marijuana, whatever it is, he can give you a straight answer. Just want to give you this background. I just saw this. In Illinois, the number of patients who signed up for medical cannabis grew by 30% in the past year. They asked folks why they did it. They just did a poll and said, so why'd you sign up? Why did you get your medical marijuana license? And the answer's interesting. They broke it down by, you know, concerns they had and what they were trying to improve. Chronic pain, 31% of the patients. That was the most. Post-traumatic stress disorder, 16%. Those are the most common, followed by migraines, osteoarthritis at 10% each, and then cancer at 5%. People are turning to medical and recreational marijuana, for that matter, and all kinds of cannabis. Dr. Steve, you use it at Green Care Medical, I know, for a number of different ailments, and people come into you for all the reasons. Would you say that pain is number one, though?
Yeah, we talk about all the time that every patient who comes in, it doesn't matter what's wrong with them, everybody has either insomnia, anxiety, or depression. But if you ask why patients, and forget about why they come in, you ask in the past, before it was even legal and stuff, why do you use it? No patient ever came in and said, because I'm hanging out, because I'm chilling out. They were all self-medicating, and the most common answers were pain, sleep, and anxiety. Those were the three big ones. So, yeah, I mean, this is sort of consistent with what we see in our own practice.
The other thing that stood out, too, about the numbers, Illinois, the sales of recreational marijuana now topped $1 billion with 3 months remaining. All of last year, it was $670 million. So that's way up, too, recreational and medical. I guess it's no surprise. You think it's drawn because of people are learning more about it? You think it's just because it's legal and people feel that the stigma's torn away from it? What do you make of all this? It's a huge rise.
Every one of those things you just said, Anna, is probably part and parcel for why it's sort of become more mainstream. There's no question the stigma's gone. I mean, it's not only, you know, you can go in if you're 21 and get a drink. You could go into a, you know, recreational dispensary and get cannabis. So, you know, it's sort of ubiquitous where it used to not be, and, you know, criminally charged with it, where now it's not a crime. It's very weird because, you know, rec just happened. It went just overnight, Dan. You know, it wasn't like we actually had time to ramp up for it. It was like all of a sudden, boom, January 1, hey, we're rec. And there was no provisions made, you know. So it was, the system is sort of behind. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of different things that sort of go into it. But, again, the COVID and the stress and mental health being a major issue in America, you could see how all of these things push people to, quote-unquote, alternative potentials. Because the majority of our patients, you know, are 10, 12, 13-plus medications deep, you know, and of the 13, 10 of them they don't even need. You know, you're in pain, take a pain medicine. Now it's got to go higher, take a sleep med. Now you got to sleep. Now you're anxious, take an anxiety med. Now you got to depress, take a depression. It doesn't end. And now, you know, it's Band-Aid, 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 like we talk about all the time. I think, you know, we could talk about all these different products and CBD and cannabis. And the truth is it's the approach. It's lifestyle change. It's sleeping and feeling well enough to be able to implement lifestyle change and subsequently get people better.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take your calls for Dr. Steve, your questions via text and phone, 312-981-7200. That's our number. Any cannabis questions you have, CBD or otherwise, we're going to get to that. Let's pick it up on the other side here with Dr. Steve Salzman, Green Care Medical, 312-981-7200. That's our number. We'll be answering your calls. Talk more about cannabis coming up on WGN. Dr. Steve Salzman is with Green Care Medical. You know, I feel like it's got now up to about 30% of my family members, my immediate family, are on using some sort of CBD marijuana product. Mostly the CBD creams, the older members and the people, the younger members of the family with pain, they find that it really works. And I think people were very reluctant to try that kind of thing. You know, it's over time, it's become more acceptable. It's people figure out that it works for them. Any advice just go to before I get to the questions here for if people want to start that?
Topical is always a good start. If grandma's nervous about taking anything orally or something that might sort of alter her sensorium, the creams are a wonderful way to go about doing things. They're local. You don't get systemically absorbed. And, you know, if it works or it doesn't work, you know, they're not frightened by the experience. And then you sort of work your way into it. But the truth, we talk about it all the time, Anna, right? You got to, you know, with CBD, you got to go big or go home. You got to take it orally to really trigger a very strong anti-inflammatory response. So in the end, you got to go oral.
Okay, let me ask you this. We have 214 says, how does Dr. Steve feel about CBD cannabis for pain in young adults? My 18-year-old son has chronic pain from a genetic disorder. Young adults, are there special concerns?
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, yes, but why is there a special concern? There's a special concern because there's not a lot of research out about, quote-unquote, the developing brain. But, you know, put that aside for a second about what THC potentially in cannabis can do to the developing brain, and let's talk about some of the other sort of other issues that are more acute. When we have patients, especially like with certain types of genetic disorders and muscular dystrophy and all of these other very painful, a lot of muscle spasm and stuff, you got to get patients feeling well enough to be able to function. You know, in the end, before you think about what harm might be done, I'm willing to tell you that cannabis is probably safer than most of the medications they're treating them with. Certainly with cannabis, you're not going to die. You're not going to overdose. You're not going to withdraw. You know, so at worst, you know, nothing sort of happens. And at best, you could potentially change the quality of somebody's life. And that's the point, is that, you know, if you have somebody that's literally paralyzed with pain, it's going to start everything off. Pain. Now I'm not sleeping. Now I'm not sleeping. I'm in pain and I'm anxious and now I'm depressed. And it starts off that sort of whole entire cycle. And so you have to improve certain things. You've got to get patients sleeping. You have to improve the quality of their life. If you're miserable and can't get out of bed, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. You know, your life is destroyed as a function of that. So we have the biggest growing population in our practice, bar none, is the pediatric population. Obviously, pediatric cancer is huge and a lot of palliative care stuff, but there's no question we're seeing more and more genetic disorders, more and more children who are really struggling with very painful conditions. And this is, at least it's worth a shot to look at it to see if it's appropriate for them, regardless of their age.
815, please ask the good doctor if purchasing recreational marijuana is okay for a recovering alcoholic. Would CBDs be okay to use?
So we have a lot. Okay. So if you ask the 12-step group, the answer is abstinence, right? Like you can't take anything. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of these patients turned to those addictions as a function of medicating pain away, and they just got sort of caught up in it. And we do have a lot of patients who are ex-alcoholics, ex-polysubstance abusers, who do use cannabis. And I think that's a very controversial issue. Because if you have problems in the past with substances, you know, you have to be very, very careful. So I'm sure at some point it's individualized. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening now going, no. You know, if you're an alcoholic, you absolutely have to abstain from everything. But, you know, again, like, what's the quality of life? What are we looking to do? If these people, you know, can't sleep and they're in miserable pain and they're sober, I mean, what are we actually gaining if they can't really live their life? So, you know, people like that, Anna, the answer to that person is, if you've had a substance abuse issue in the past, don't go walking in and just getting recreational cannabis. You know, come see your physician, come see a physician who knows what they're talking about, who can sort of guide you through and keep an eye on things. Because you can't go at it yourself, because you're looking, you know, potentially you're looking down the barrel of a gun. So you need help when you're struggling with those types of issues and you want to insert cannabis into this.
815 also asked, when will creams with THC be sold here as they are in Nevada? Those definitely work wonders. I just heard from somebody personally who said that as well, that he uses that when he gets really bad back pain.
Yeah, I think they have them here already. I don't know. I'm not sure of the exact sort of products, but they have many different balms and creams that are both CBD and THC infused. And absolutely, my dad swears by him, you know? I mean, my dad's probably listening. He laughs, but I said, you know how we tested the creams? I went to the most negative human being in America, my father. I gave him the cream, and a month later, he said, it's a miracle. There you go. Proof positive. The cream works.
That's a big deal. That's the best research you could ever do right there. I know you do a ton of research at Green Care, but that one speaks volumes to hear that your dad said that. 727, Dr. Right. You can convince your dad, and he's going to tell you, too. I know the dad will tell you what he thinks. That's the other part. 727, hi, Anna. Dr. Steve, can CBD help someone with severe phobia? Many years ago, I was hit by a car while cycling. Now I have been afraid even to drive on expressways. Is this something that can help? And I guess the other follow-up would be, while driving, is that okay?
So the first answer is, obviously, a lot of times, and again, remember, I was a trauma surgeon, right? So one of the things that's not often talked about is that sort of lingering trauma, the post-traumatic stress disorder of the event. You have a car crash, you get, you know, lots of injuries and stuff, but it's getting back on the road and getting back into that situation. And, you know, when you start practicing this sort of, you know, avoidance, you know, you have an aversion for going on the road and stuff. What does CBD do? CBD at appropriate doses can trigger very strong both anti-inflammatory for pain and anti-anxiety reactions. So, yes, I suppose in theory it could help. But, you know, again, that person, let me be very honest, I'm going to talk to you like you're my family member. Yes, for sure, try CBD. Absolutely, it's a great anti-anxiolytic. But there's more than work that needs to be done. You can't just take CBD and, okay, I'm chill, I'm going to go drive now. Yes, it's safe. If it's actual CBD without the THC in it, there's no psychoactive component, but be careful, because if you buy it in the dispensary, it probably has a little bit of THC in it, because I don't think they only have one or two products, pure CBD, so just be careful. But that's something, you know, CBD and THC and cannabis and ketamine, all these things we're hearing about, they're absolutely terrific adjuncts. And we're going to hear more about that and psychedelic therapy like MDMA and psilocybin. But it's got to be that mixed with lifestyle change, mixed with all the other things. That whole phase three I talk about, right? Exercise, diet, focused and diaphragmatic breathing. It's building 2.0 versions of people with a toolbox to manage relapse, flare-up, stress. And in that toolbox is cannabis, is CBD, or all these things. But it's putting the whole puzzle together. I call it the recovery business.
Dr. Steve, hang on. We're going to try to get... Oh, I think she just dropped off. We're going to get someone about talking about sleeping. Can it help you? How does it help you? What do you recommend for folks who have trouble sleeping? What do you say to go to for that?
Well, the answer is CBD can also help. Again, you know, depending on amounts, you know, sometimes larger amounts cause sedative effects, sometimes less amounts cause sort of more energy. But a lot of our patients, if I'm being honest, really require a little bit of that THC and orally. And why? Because what we do is we call it sleep training, where we slowly go up till we hit the dose where patients sleep 6 to 7 hours a night, where they have dreams and they wake up feeling rested. Whatever that dose is, it's 2.5, it's 5, it's 10. And when they hit that dose, they repeat it night after night after night. But what happens over time is, once you get that 6 to 7 hours of sleep and you can repeat it night after night after night, whatever puts you to sleep, the brain resets. And the big fear of mine was that I was going to have to go up higher and higher on THC and these people were going to develop tolerance and all these things I was scared about. But in reality, here's what happened. They slept. Week one, week two, week three, and then all of a sudden, they forget to take their medicine or their gummy the first night. And then the second night, all of a sudden, boom, their brain reset. And they didn't need to reach for anything. They were able to go to sleep. But you got to get them into that zone. And how do you reset and rewire that brain, all this stuff? It's getting patients into those deeper phases of restorative sleep where dreams occur, where they can stay there. You know, and the longer you keep them there, the more reset you have for the brain.
Sounds good, Dr. Steve. We got to leave it there. But thank you for the advice. Thanks for helping out our listeners this Friday. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Everybody have a safe weekend. Go Bears.
And go Bears, and hello to your dad, too. Let him know. Happy he was able to test your products for you. Thanks, Dr. Steve.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.